one of the key things is this issue of guilt and having a space to go to process that. And where it comes from is this feeling of responsibility. When you have to make a choice, even though you don't really have a choice, the fact that you are offered a choice, and then you have to make a decision. There's something so, so powerful about that.
Hello, and welcome to Time to Talk TFMR, Termination for Medical Reasons. Our aim is to help you own your experience. I'm Hayley Manning.
And I'm Catherine Mousley. This podcast is for you. We just wanted to thank you for your support. And if you'd like to contact us, please do so via Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Time to Talk TFMR, or email talktfmr@yahoo.com.
So today we're going to be joined by our guest, Karen Burgess. Karen has been a counselor, trainer, and coach for the last 18 years, and she established Petals in 2011, which is a specialist baby loss bereavement charity to help women, men, and couples going through the grief of losing a baby.
So Hayley, I believe you had a very significant anniversary recently. It was Luna's fourth birthday. I just wanted to know how you felt about that, and did it feel any different from last year?
Thanks, Catherine. Yeah, I don't know. You know, every year it feels slightly different. I don't know if it's because time is moving on and so therefore I'm a bit different. I don't know if it's because it's her fourth birthday. And so, you know, I think we've maybe mentioned on a podcast episode at some point about, you know, it being a significant milestone year. She'd be starting school in September. But I don't know. I find this time of year difficult from about December all the way through till March. It kind of always has been since she was born. And I'm still kind of reeling from it. So I realize that this recording won't be out as an episode for probably a number of weeks after Luna's birthday. And also, I just wanted to thank listeners for their messages and things as well on that day.
Yeah, you got a lot of support, didn't you?
Yeah, it was really kind and it was really touching. But yeah, I'm still sort of processing it. I didn't feel like we really did what I wanted to do. I didn't feel like I felt like we've spent enough time with her.
What did you want to do?
Well, this is the thing. Yeah, I know. It's like, well, what did you want to do with her? What did you want to do? Normally we would have gone for a walk somewhere and had a pub lunch, but obviously we couldn't do that because of lockdown. We did go for a walk, but it was just locally. It just didn't feel like we'd done anything really with her properly in mind. The other thing is that my husband, Charlie, he worked half the day, which was a big mistake because basically the first half of the day I was on my own.
Yeah.
And it just was a big no-no. So my big advice to anybody else is that, you know, do these things together and maybe plan something in advance together, because that was a mistake.
Did he know, like, did he have to work?
No, or could he have taken to be honest with you, Catherine, I was the one who sort of said, oh, you know, Luna's birthday's coming up. There's a few things I do on a Monday anyway that he takes time off for. And I said, oh, take a half day on that day. So I was the one who sort of suggested it. Why did I do that? I don't know. I'm still asking myself. We're still talking about that. Why did you suggest that I do that? But it has been agreed that actually that was the wrong thing. And he should have taken a whole day. And we should have sat down together back in December and planned something properly.
Yeah. Do you think it felt different because we're in lockdown though?
Yeah, I think that definitely has a big impact actually.
But it's not something you could foresee.
Yeah, exactly. No, we couldn't. So back in December, we might have planned something where we're going out somewhere and we would have had to change that plan. But yeah, I think it feels a bit different because of lockdown. I think everything's a bit more intense because of lockdown. I think also with 4 years on, Charlie and I were sort of reassessing our grief and we feel it in a different way. We respond to it in a different way.
Is that for both of you differently or?
Yeah, I think we grieve differently. And what we need is different. So this is a conversation that's still ongoing between us about, okay, so what do we each need and how can we support each other in that need going forward for the years to come? Because I think it's going to keep on changing and shifting.
Yeah.
So it's all about communication.
It's always, everything is about communication.
Yeah. And which is really hard when you're hurting. On the 25th, I was really hurting badly. And it was really hard for me to communicate what I needed.
You don't know what you need at that point, though.
I just needed care. I needed a lot of care. And, you know, I'm the one who's doing a lot of the outgoing of care in our family, especially now with lockdown and homeschool and stuff. So, yeah, it wasn't great. But I will just say that we are planning on doing something anyway. We've sort of refocused and reshifted and gone, right, it's not too late. We can still do something. So we're working on something now to do, to plan and be with Luna, even though it's not her birthday, but still do something. It's not too late. So
it's never too late for any of these things. There's no handbook.
Absolutely not.
Rules written.
Yeah, yeah. You're just feeling your way all the time. And here I am 4 years on, I'm still feeling my way around. So yeah, maybe on that note, be great to bring Karen in. Hi, Karen. Thank you for joining us.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. I thought maybe I'd just start with something that a listener has written in. So okay. This is a listener and a current service user of Pedals. We put out a question on our Instagram. We asked people to send in their questions and comments, and this came through, and I just thought it was really lovely. And I thought it might be nice for you to hear, but also for other people to hear about what Pedals has done for this person. So this is what she had to say. My counselor understands the emotions involved in a TFMR so well. She understands me and is so empathetic. She even went through the letters I received from the hospital in order to help me deal with the guilt. She is now helping me through my rainbow pregnancy. She has brought me back from some very dark places. So we just thought that was really lovely.
Yeah. That's really lovely to hear, and I'm very grateful to whoever that is who shared that with us, because I think it's really important for others to hear that sort of feedback. There's nothing better actually than hearing feedback from other clients. But you know what she says is in essence exactly what we aim to do. It is about providing that safe space to take this issue, to take this experience, whatever that may mean. So if it is, you know, working through some letters from hospitals, or just, you know, discussing some of the meetings and the different kind of events that come as a result of this, we're there for that. It doesn't matter what it is. Mm. One of the key things I think that she mentions there, which is so relevant when working with TFMR, is this issue of guilt and having a space to go to process that.
Yeah. It comes up time and time again from our listeners. Yeah, it's huge. Both Catherine and I felt that as well.
This is the main driver, I think, behind all of it. The single one emotion that feeds into all of it. And it's just become so entwined, I think, as well.
I think for us, that is what is the real difference that we see in working with women who've experienced TFMR to other pregnancy losses. Mm. It's another layer of emotional turmoil. And where it comes from is this feeling of responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you have to make a choice, or when you're offered a choice, even though you don't really have a choice,
yeah.
The fact that you are offered a choice and then you have to make a decision about that. There's something in so powerful about that when we're talking about a life.
Yes.
And the residue of that decision, whatever that decision is actually, you know, because for some people, we certainly, you know, quite regularly work with women who are offered that choice and don't take that choice, but continue with the pregnancy that they know is going to end at some point. You know, regardless of what that choice is, it's the fact that they were offered that choice that stays with them, brings the guilt, brings the shame very often, and kind of overrides all the other emotions, certainly in the first stages of this.
I think it really complicates the grief, doesn't it? Because
it does.
The grief almost can't come out, really. It's being blocked by these other huge, huge emotions.
Well, they're emotions that are very personal to you. Mm. You know, grief is about the loss of something, about a relationship or expectations of a relationship, all of that. The grief is about thinking you have something or you're going to have something and you don't have it. Mm. And it's how you feel about that. But when we've been put in a position where we've had to make a choice about something, you know, that's very much about us.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's about how we feel about ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's that is the challenging thing to process.
Well, I'm thinking of actually another listener sort of wrote and said, you know, this idea of choice. She said, did you feel like you had a choice? I didn't feel like I had a choice. And I wrote back to her and I said, yeah, that word choice is very difficult. And I said, I choose to not use that word so much. I talk about it in a matter of decisions. I was presented with, I need to make a decision. And I know it's very nuanced, but it is that thing that that word choice suggests that there's, yes, that it's up to, it is up to us, which ultimately it is, but it also kind of suggests like all the choices in this are shit, let's be honest, you know? So we either terminate the pregnancy now, or we terminate later, or we wait and maybe deliver naturally, knowing that either this baby's going to die during labor or shortly after, or maybe be presented with lots of surgery options that they may or may not survive. So all of our choice in here, these are all really very, very difficult choices and things to live with.
Yes.
The word choice add somehow feels so much heavier and so much more loaded than the word decision. Like, and I was just thinking of
I'm just thinking weight on your shoulders.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm even thinking of, I think the book I was given was called The Burden of Choice. Mm. And that to me just feels like, whoa.
Catherine, this is what this listener wrote. She said, I was given that book and just didn't feel like anything that I could relate to, or was, I just didn't need that.
No, I mean, when I read it, it was all a very much fatal diagnosis, not the non-fatal that most of us are presented with, I think. Mm. There's also a Facebook group called like TFMR, A Loving Choice. It's always like the loving is inserted before the word choice to try and take the edge off that word.
Mm.
So yeah, it's really difficult, isn't it? Like the word choice implies that, you know, you were given an actual choice, but you really weren't in most aspects.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And, but that's kind of the challenge in a way, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of working that out for yourself and processing that for yourself. And I think, you know, this is what we find sits at the heart of this work for us with TFMR. It's very much, you're sort of forced into that position where you have to think about that and live it and be with it.
Yes.
On top of everything else that surrounds this, which is about, you know, thinking you are on a path towards something that's really significant in your life, and that path has suddenly just come to a dead end, and you know you're having to pick your life up again. So yeah, there's so many complex layers to this, but what I guess what sits at the heart of our work is the really tricky parts of this, because they're the bits that no one else wants to really talk to you about. You know, family, friends, partners, colleagues, they're not going to go there most of the time.
Yeah, Karen, again, you're sort of picking up on another listener, another, you know, follower said, how do I'm worried about how I can talk to people, others about this without making them uncomfortable or worried. And again, I responded with, well, that's probably going to be quite difficult. And actually, that's where a counselor is your sort of armor with that, is your person to do that with. With time, you may find that there are people in your circle that you can do that with, that you may have one or two, if you're lucky, that are very good listeners and that don't freak out when you want to talk about this. But really, it's probably going to be a counselor, somebody who's got that training and experience.
And but that's exactly it. That is where we come in very much at Petals, is that we do have the experience of this, and that's what kind of sets us apart, I think, very often from other counsellors, other counselling organisations, because this is so kind of, you know, niche in a way, and so specific, this particular area of our work. And for our counsellors, they're going to kind of know what you're going to say before you say it. You know, because they've heard it so many times before, they know what the issues are. And that in itself, I think, is just so, so supportive, so sort of comforting for you as a client to know that you're not going to get that kind of withdrawal almost as you start to sort of talk about your story, which you get with many, many other people.
Yeah, it's that empathy. It's that being able to sit with the really difficult really difficult, these dark places, as I read out from that listener.
Yes,
you know, this very dark place. I mean, I know that dark place. Catherine knows that dark place. And I've often sort of visualized it as a place of complete blackness, and then you have these beacons of light of these people that are there to help you, counselors being one of them, and they're little beacons of light in that darkness that eventually help to sort of brighten the whole room or be able to bring you out of that dark place as this person.
Just make sense said. Of it.
Yeah.
Validate emotions.
Exactly.
Help. I mean, a lot of us, I think, they just feel like they can't grieve openly due to the decision they've made. So then the guilt creeps in for not being able to grieve. And if you grieve openly, the guilt creeps in for the decision you made that goes against what, you know, or judgments of others. I can say what other people believe in, but that is the same as judgments, I guess, from people who make you even feel even more guilty. And it goes round and round in a circle until you can speak to someone who can help you make sense of your emotions and begin to separate them, I think, in your mind.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that keeps coming up again and again is this feeling of not being worthy of support.
Yeah.
Karen, is that something that you've encountered? Yeah.
Yes, no, absolutely. Again, because of the responsibility of this, because of the decision making, there is very often that sort of feeling that actually, well, you know, there's going to be somebody else who deserves this support more than me.
Yeah.
And it's all linked to that sense of shame and everything. So yeah, I mean, I think this is why it's been so important for us to open up this conversation, to really kind of link in with other charities, to get that message out there that we need to really be talking about this, you know, and obviously this work you're doing is fabulous for that. That's exactly what is needed, because it's the only way we're going to kind of normalize this as an experience. I mean, it bewilders me, actually, how under the radar just this whole area of maternity service remains, despite the fact that, you know, just about every major maternity unit will have a fetal medicine department and will be, you know, scanning and providing testing. And as a consequence of that, of course, giving people decisions to make, you know, why is it that people don't know that's happening?
Exactly.
It's quite shocking. And you know, all these women couples go off to their 12-week scan, to their 20-week scan, you know, with no kind of real preparation and anticipation of actually what this might reveal.
That naivety that
that's society for you though, isn't it? It's just everything about having a baby is happy, happy pregnancy, happy baby. Even like, you remember the Clear Blue adverts that are always like really happy couples, and there was like that campaign going recently about to raise more awareness about IVF and things like that. So I mean, people think it's called a gender scan, don't they?
20 weeks.
Until you've been through it, I think you've got that blissful ignorance.
Karen, you touched on you know, your joining up with ARC, Antenatal Results and Choices, and Tommy's.
Yes.
It'd be interesting to hear a little bit more about that campaign. And, you know, you touched on it there about the reason that TFMR is so in the shadows. I think it'd be nice to hear a bit why that came about and what's going on around it.
Yeah. It initially came about really from, well, one particular client of ours, but others sort of emerged as we started to explore this further. But this was one particular client who had dealt with each of us, with Tommy's, with ARC, with Petals, and was saying, look, surely if you three can come together in some way with this, it's going to be a much more powerful voice. It's going to really, really help women like me. And so we really sort of took that on board and thought about that. Thought, yeah, of course, why don't we? This is an obvious thing to do. So I think it was actually us, Petals, who took the initiative on that. We connected up with Jane at ARC, who I know pretty well anyway. And then we connected with Tommy's. And it was a really great opportunity, actually, just to see what we could do together. And I mean, we're at the start of something. There's a lot more we can do. And I think we have a meeting next week or the week after to kind of look at what our next steps are going to be with this. But it was successful. And I think there's so much more that we can do, because each of us are doing something different. You know, we each have a different place in this journey. But nevertheless, our joint voices are greater. And I really hope there's a lot more that we have ahead of us.
Yeah, I think, you know, seeing it sort of coming together and just seeing TFMR spoken about more openly, I know for me, felt like a validation, definitely, you know, because I have felt like I don't really belong in the baby loss community. It's sort of, I mean, I've had miscarriages as well. So, you know, I can kind of shoehorn myself in there with the miscarriage thing. And then I kind of, you know, but the TFMR part, so it's always felt a little bit awkward. So I think it's really great that, you know, we need to bring this into and welcome in, because there's thousands of women and families.
Absolutely. Yeah, almost as many as stillbirth, isn't there? Same thing for TFMR stillbirth. Yeah, it's not as widely reported.
No, that's exactly. And you know, it really breaks my heart to think of some of those women, those couples who go through this experience, who aren't offered any support, who don't have the relationships around them to talk about it, who are just suffering in silence with this, who are holding it and just not really knowing where to go. Because this is the thing, when we're talking about guilt and shame, if we don't have somewhere to take that and express that and process that, then those emotions are quite toxic.
Yeah.
They really are. You know, they can lead to all sorts of, you know, very dark consequences, I think, for anybody. And so this is why it is so important that we don't just internalize those. Mm. It really, really is.
Yeah. We had somebody send in a question. I'm doing this a lot this episode. This is the first time I've really been able to kind of really interject a lot of the things from the listeners. So it's great. But somebody else just sort of asked a question about, is it normal not to get pregnant again after a TFMR? So I think she was meaning like she's struggling to get pregnant again after her TFMR. And I thought, I'm not quite sure how to answer that question, but what it did make me think of is exactly what you're talking about, Karen, about how these quite toxic, very strong emotions that if we're not able to process them, what it does to us.
Yeah, the stress on the body.
Yeah, that it doesn't just affect us mentally, that it can affect us physically. And that, you know, how do you measure that? I don't know. But my sort of thing is that you need to go and speak to your doctors about this. But do you have someone that you're able to process these strong emotions with?
It's so important.
Yeah.
It really is. It gets missed all the time. And this is why we need to understand the psychological impact so much more. And, you know, we need more research. We need more investment in the whole area so that, we can look at the whole picture.
Just more voices as well. I think a lot of women, you know, especially with the abortion laws in different countries, instantly they feel that shame. They're like, well, I can't say anything to anyone now. I, you know, I'm going to be judged. You know, so-and-so down the street is going to go and tell someone else about this. And then it's all internalized. But I think it's taking other people who've been through it to start to speak out, to enable others to go, oh my God, I'm not alone. Yeah. And then they can find their voice too, which helps relieve some of that inner burden initially before they can find someone professional to talk to.
Yeah.
And they might not realize that professional services exist to help with stuff like that, because there is such a sense of shame and disgust attached to something like this still.
Yeah. Or even that thing, Catherine, of not feeling like you're worthy. So if we can start to kind of get that message through that you are worthy of support. Yes, you made a decision. You still love your baby. Mm. You are still worthy of support.
And that is our underlying message, isn't it? For this podcast.
Exactly. Karen, the other thing that I was sort of picking up on is that you do help couples.
Yes.
So, and something I saw on your website, that something like 40% of relationships break down after the loss of a baby. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's huge. So we're not just talking about health of women, mental health of women. We're talking about the health of relationships.
Absolutely.
And men.
Yes. Yeah. And I think it is all the more important and significant for the couples who go through TFMR, who have the burden of responsibility of decision making, because that is something very, very powerful to sit within a relationship. And if you don't have the right conditions to hold that in a relationship, you don't have the right people around you to help you process that, or you don't have a counsellor to help you process that, then yes, the likelihood of there being some sort of division coming as a consequence of it is very, very high. Mm. So from our point of view, we work a lot with couples, and we will even encourage. So if a woman contacts us, you know, which is often the case, it's the woman contacts us and will say, well, you know, I don't know if my partner, my husband's going to want to come, you know, I'll ask them. But, you know, we will try and encourage them to, because very often once they are there, once they are present in the sessions, and the counsellor, of course, is very used to working with couples, so we'll address both parties. It can be enormously helpful for a relationship to actually hear where each other is in that sort of safe setting. And So many times couples will say to us, actually, you know, our relationship is so much more stronger as a result of this. It becomes something positive in a way that has come from such a negative and difficult experience, is that each partner in the relationship has kind of got to understand and know each other a little bit better.
Yeah. And themselves. Yeah. So that's what's happened to me, is that I've begun to understand myself better, and my husband has begun to understand himself better.
Yes.
As a result of it.
I was going to say that I wished I'd known that this had existed when we'd gone through our thing, because I think we were very much on completely different, well, different books, not even on the same page. And yeah, it's just been a huge thorn in our relationship, to the point, you know, it has ended where we separated. And I do think that's been one of the main reasons, because we've not been able to deal with it properly. And I've been very open, he's been very closed about the whole thing. So yeah, it would have been nice. And especially when it's so, I mean, sometimes I think men feel a bit, well, maybe humiliated or embarrassed because they haven't physically felt that baby or been through the birth. Men's, sometimes they're quite fixers, aren't they? So they can't fix this situation instantly, and they just feel helpless and then feel embarrassed by their inability to do something about it. So yeah, in hindsight, everything's in hindsight.
It's the helplessness, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that is what I see for partners is most challenging. And, you know, different people deal with that feeling of helplessness differently. But it can, again, be quite a toxic kind of experience or sort of sense of responsibility to carry.
I think the other thing that can happen in this is my experience, is it brings up, there can be a lot of misunderstanding.
Yeah.
So if you're not able to sort of say it and express it in words, what you're feeling or what's happening for you, then the other person kind of just fills in the blanks, and that filling in can be a complete completely not what the other, what your partner is
catastrophic
actually thinking. So you can really build up this thing that is actually not the thing if you're not being able to say it in words about what's going on. And I think, again, that's what a counselor, this sort of third person, this non-biased person, can hear what each of you are saying. Because even sometimes you may be speaking, but the other person's not really hearing.
It's like mediation as well.
It's sort of mediation. Yeah. So that it person, the counselor, can kind of come in and say, okay, so Haley, I'm hearing you say X, Y, and Z. And they reframe it. They rephrase it in other words. And they just sort of pull out the essence and reframe it. And then Charlie can look at it and go, oh, I understand now what you're saying.
Yes.
And it sort of, you can do this thing back and forth, and it just helps clear the air.
Especially when you're partners with each other, like, you've got so many emotions clouding what you can hear and what the other person's saying as well.
Yeah. And you've got your own grief that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
You know, you're in your own grief and shame and guilt. It's very difficult for you to hear.
Resentment and anger and sorrow.
It's very difficult for you to hear anything from outside.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You've described counselling very well there, actually. I was just thinking, you know, that paraphrasing is what we call it. And that is, sits at the heart of good therapy, I think, is to be able to paraphrase what someone said and give it back, because it suddenly we hear it and feel it very differently.
Yeah. Well, I am training to be a therapist, so it's good to hear that the work is going in.
Excellent. Yeah. Yes. You're doing very well. Top marks.
Good. Gold star for me. I think it's really great to hear that. So you do work with couples, because that again came up, you know, do you work with men? Do you work with couples? Do you work with partners? Because, you know, we may not have heterosexual couples here. We may have same-sex couples dealing with this. And the other thing that sort of come up is this, again, subsequent pregnancies.
Yes.
What's sometimes termed rainbow pregnancies. How do you help with that? What's your...
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, our standard offer at Petals is that we provide 6 free counselling sessions for loss. So whatever that loss may be, that is our standard offer. Now, sometimes it's required that the client will need more than that, and we most of the time can accommodate that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we may well go beyond those 6 sessions. But the secondary offer then is that we will provide a further 6 sessions in a subsequent pregnancy.
Okay.
And so it's quite important that, I think, for the client who is with a particular counsellor going through their loss, that as we come towards the end of the work, part of our model is that we begin to talk about the subsequent pregnancy about whatever that those challenges may be for that couple, and start to sort of shift the conversation in that direction. And sometimes those next set of sessions follow on from the first set of sessions because the woman is pregnant again, you know, during that time. But what is lovely is that we do encourage all our clients to get back in touch with us again when they are pregnant, and we will match them back up with the counsellor that they were previously with, as long as that's what they want. And so they can continue that relationship with somebody who knows what they've been, who's been through the loss with them, process that with them. And that is really, really important. Now, of course, sometimes there is another loss, that can result in another loss. And, you know, we then work out how we're going to manage that in terms of the sessions we're providing. But we try to provide that continuity because it's so, so important. And most of the time we manage that. I can't think of one occasion where we've actually had to say to somebody, I'm sorry, you know, we're going to not be able to continue with you. We will work a way out so that we can fully support through that.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant to hear.
So I thought it might be interesting for the listeners to hear what the future plans are for Petals and how you plan to move forward to raise more awareness of TFMR.
It's a very pertinent point, actually, because we are very much in a sort of a transitional phase at the moment. We've had new trustees come on board in the last year who are very keen to help to elevate the charity to the next level, which is about taking the service national, which is about ensuring that we can reach more parents and be more accessible. So some of the plans will be to obviously expand our geographical reach. It's a very difficult one to manage because, you know, we have to balance our capacity in terms of the counsellors we've got alongside the funding we have. It's kind of that chicken and egg situation, really. So we're trying to sort of work that out now in the best way we can so that we don't overstretch ourselves, we don't overpromise, but that we are there. And for me, I mean, I know at the moment we are in a position where we've had to temporarily put a halt on some of the referrals that we're taking in across the country. That is a temporary step, and for me it's really important that we are open and transparent with parents who are contacting us, rather than sort of saying, oh, we'll put you on a waiting list, rather than saying, well, yes, you know, we will have a service available at some point. We would rather be open and honest and say, right now we aren't able to take you. However, as soon as we do have capacity, we will be open to that. And that to me is far more important because of the really sensitive nature of this work, and getting the timing right of the intervention is so important as well. One of the things that I am hoping to be able to develop in the near future, and this is a very personal sort of aspiration of mine, is to develop a therapy support group specifically for TFMR.
That'd be wonderful.
So I'm hoping to be able to pilot something like that during this year, because I actually think there's a lot of, you know, could be a lot of benefits for that, we can actually sort of roll our program out, but within a group setting, so that parents can be sharing in that experience of therapy, as well as gaining from the experience.
It's a bit like the SAN support groups, isn't it? But specifically for TFMR.
Well, yes, and always counsellor led. You see, that's the important thing for me, that there is a therapeutic element to it. Because I think I've worked a lot with groups over the years, and I think they're a great way of doing this, but it is so important that they're facilitated well.
Definitely. They're quite intense. They can be very intense.
They can be very intense. And what we don't want is for people to go away sort of having just sort of soaked up somebody else's grief and trauma and actually feeling worse. So it's important that we get that right. And that is something that we hope to develop. And that in itself will ease our capacity issues because we'll be able to work with more people at once. So there's lots that we plan to do. And, you know, we are a well-run charity. I say that with pride. I've got a great trustee team. So we only will develop at a pace that we are capable of managing and sustaining.
Speaking of funding, I think I owe you about £100 from the sale of the t-shirts anyway. So £100 more than what you had. I'm waiting to get rid of one more. I've been trying to flog it for ages.
And they've all heard it now, Catherine.
Yeah, exactly. If anyone wants a grey medium t-shirt, you know, it's all yours.
No going back.
That's great. It's been really good. Karen, one of the things that we have done with all of our episodes is this thing that we're calling TFMR takeaways. And it's just one little question. It's something to send the listeners off with. And that question is, what piece of advice or piece of hope would you give to women or families who are facing TFMR or who have undergone a TFMR?
It's, for me, it is a complete belief and trust that you will be okay. The reason that I set Petals up, the reason that we exist, is because we honestly do believe that with the right support, with the right engagement and holding around you, this is something that can be worked through and can be absorbed into your life. It doesn't feel like it at the moment, at the time it happens, but the reality is that that can happen. So to trust that, to believe in that, that your dream of being a parent is not shattered most of the time by this experience. That there is a place to move on to and a way of holding this loss in your life that doesn't need to be painful all the time.
Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Karen. It's been great having you on.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so I wanted to thank the listeners again. Don't forget that you can subscribe to our podcast from Podbean or Spotify or Apple Podcasts or any other reputable podcast provider. It's a great way to make sure you get all of our new episodes as soon as they're published.
Over the next few weeks, we'll be speaking to Shima Tariq. She's undergone multiple IVF transfers and had to make the decision to end her pregnancy for TFMR. We're very much looking forward to speaking with her about her experiences.
That's goodbye for now. Until next time, take care of yourselves out there.
Thank you. Bye-bye.